Bonnie, and I'd like to welcome you to New Covenant Fellowship's virtual church service today. We're so glad that you're joining us for worship. When I first visited New Covenant 4 decades ago as a graduate student, I was blown away by the dynamic, heartfelt worship. It was unlike anything I'd ever experienced, and it helped me to connect with God in a new way. I hope that you experience that today, too. So as you sing along with the worship choir, feel free to stand, kneel, raise your hands, clap, or dance as God's Spirit moves you. Please join me now in praying for our service today. Dear God, as we worship you today and listen to Ron's teaching, give us hearts that are open to receiving your love and to learning more about accepting forgiveness. Help us to grow and change as a result of hearing your word. We thank you for all those who have given their time and energy to bring this service to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Teach us, O Lord, to accept your forgiveness. Sometimes we think we should not be forgiven, so we continue to punish ourselves. To the penitent, there is no voice so pleasant as that of pardon. Help us, Lord, to accept the grace and mercy you provide, and extend that grace and mercy to others. Help us to remember that your grace is higher than our sins. Amen.
Love and sorrow. I'm reading chapter 26, verses 27 and 28. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth.
Thank you. Hello, New Covenant Fellowship and friends far and near. This is Ron Simpkins. My theme for the teaching today is accepting the offer of forgiveness. The scripture I would like to read again, Matthew 26:27-28. And Jesus took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my lifeblood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." A very familiar reading, and yet perhaps so familiar we don't really think about all that it contains and means. On the theme of accepting the gift of forgiveness, I'm not really departing too far from the theme that Jeff and Melissa and I have talked about recently, and that's growing in our prayer life, because I find that accepting forgiveness as a costly gift from someone else usually demands a lot of prayer on our part. For some of us, that's because it's difficult to accept what we know we don't deserve. For others of us, it's because it's difficult to accept that we need it. I think before talking about that acceptance, it's important to say a few things I'm not talking about. Sometimes you need to do that just so people can not be sitting saying, "Yes, but what about that?" So these are things that are very important, but for another time. I'm not talking about offering forgiveness to other people. That's often difficult. It's extremely important. But I'm talking about our accepting it, not our offering it right now. I'm not talking about our need to offer forgiveness to God. That may sound sacrilegious to some of you, but like the psalmist and Jeremiah, most of us have experienced things that God has allowed that we're quite unhappy about. It leaves us wondering if God cares, and difficult to want to be close to God again. And we're going to have to decide to forgive God. We may someday find out that the issue was much bigger than we knew, but our hearts have been broken and wounded, and we have to be willing to let go of that to get close to God again. Another topic for another day. A couple of others. They're very related to our accepting forgiveness, but not time to address today. One of them is, I'm not talking about Jesus dying in order to change God from an angry God to a loving God. That's a common but horrible doctrine. The entire New Testament frames Jesus, even the faithful giving of his life, in terms of God's love for us, his love for us. That's a big and a powerful topic, but one for another time. Also, I'm not going to be able to address a tendency that those of us who have some privileged status have, which is to demand that people with less privilege quickly forgive us when someone from the privileged status hurts them. That's often true with white privilege, wanting African Americans to quickly forgive or immigrants to quickly forgive. People have a right to express their anger. They don't owe us some kind of quick forgiveness if we're the one in the privileged status or those around us. Another topic for another time. So, what about the ones I do want to talk about today? Accepting the gift of God's forgiveness and others' forgiveness. The word pictures are important that stand behind the word forgive and forgiving. In the Hebrew Bible, nasa, the word picture was to lift a burden off of somebody's shoulders and to carry the load away. So the picture of forgiveness is carrying the load away and lifting off the burden. And another Hebrew word translated forgive is salach, and it was a word picture of making a heavy weight much lighter, often translated as forgive or pardon. And then when those were translated into Greek and the Hebrew Old Testament, into Greek Old Testament, and then into the New Testament, the word they chose usually was aphiemi, and it was a common everyday word for forgiving debts. That's why in the Lord's Prayer it's, "Forgive us our debtors." And of course, debts are a very heavy burden. They're a burden used to oppress people and to oppress the labor market and to suppress laborers. all over the world, including in our country. So that's the word picture. Now, what do we need this lightening of the burden, carrying away the burden, forgiving of the debt? What do we need this for? Well, the quick and easy answer is, well, the Bible says for sins. True. But I think the definition of sins in the Bible is very important. The main definition for sin is not trusting God every moment and not living up to the potential that we have as humans in the image of God every moment, every hour, every day, and especially failing to be thankful to God and to others for the love that's shared and the gifts that are shared. Now, if I accept that definition of sin, not trusting, not loving, not being thankful all the time, it's not difficult to accept that the biblical claim that all have sinned and keep falling short of the glory of God, or keep falling short of reflecting the wondrous, glorious potential God has placed in us humans, is absolutely true. We all do. I think it's also important in thinking about accepting forgiveness to understand that forgiving is not God's goal. Despite the fact that often evangelical doctrine and Catholic doctrine has tended in that direction to sound like, well, the whole thing is, you know, God wanted to forgive us, the cross is important because God wanted to forgive us, and that was the whole goal. Forgiving is never a goal. Forgiving is a means to continuing growing relationships. Let me illustrate. My wife Donna did not marry me so she could practice forgiving. That was not her goal when we said, I do. That'd be a silly goal for a relationship. Now, Donna did have to choose to offer the gift of forgiveness quite often. If the channels were going to stay open and we were going to keep growing in closeness, sadly, she had to forgive me quite often and not push me away, but forgive and be willing to be close. And God, too. It's not God's goal. God didn't create humans so God could practice forgiving. God created us humans because God wants to have a forever human family made up of humans in the image of God. And in order to get there, God has to offer a lot of forgiveness, and we have to choose to accept that forgiveness for the relationship to keep growing and the closeness to be maintained. It's a necessary means. It's not a goal. So why is asking for and accepting forgiveness so difficult? I'd like to suggest at least a few words. Why is it that most of us would rather make excuses than be forgiven? One reason, being forgiven means I have to be truthful about my sins, my failures, the many times I've hurt others and hurt God. I want to give you an illustration of what this felt like in my relationship with Donna. In 1972, I took a friend as a favor over to another friend in Indianapolis, north of Indianapolis, to get a car. He needed one. His was broken down. While we were there, my friend of the family who owned the car lot also offered a great price to me on a car. So I called home and said, Donna, great offer. George has offered me this great offer on a car. I want to just buy it and bring it home. It's just perfect for us. And Donna said, well, you know, that's quite an investment. Why don't you come home? We'll pray about it, and then we'll do whatever we decide to do. And, you know, that was a totally right suggestion. But number one, I didn't want to make the drive home and back again. And number two, I wanted the car. We talked a while, and finally I said, well, I'm going to buy it. All the way home, of course, I rehearsed my all the good reasons why it was the right decision and why I did what I did, and it was best for both of us. And I walked in, and Donna had actually already gone to bed and been asleep, but woke up as I walked into the bedroom. She rolled over, opened her eyes, looked me straight in the eye, and said, Ron, don't start giving me any excuses. You hurt me deeply. I've been praying about it. I'm going to forgive you. Let's leave it there. And she rolled over and went back to sleep. And I was left with all my excuses and a decision to make. Would I just accept this incredible offer of forgiveness, despite how badly I'd hurt my wife, because she loved me enough that she wanted our relationship more than she wanted to be the winner? I think that's the way to understand what God is offering us. Accepting forgiveness is also hard because it leaves me at the mercy of the other person deciding to be like Donna did and like God has, to be the forgiving one. It's also difficult to accept Jesus' faithful giving of his life because we don't want to accept the fact that we have failed so much that it costs that much for Jesus, it costs that much for God. And yet, if I'm really honest, at one time or another, I've been guilty of about every sin that literally in history put Jesus on that cross. Like the Sadducees of that day, I have at times, and we have all at times, protected our privilege at the cost to other people. And like the Pharisees, most of us at times don't like the way Jesus embarrasses us by saying our desire to always be seen as one of the good ones isn't really true. And like Jesus' disciples, how many times do we run away from standing up for the relationships with people because it's going to cost too much, it's going to risk too much if we stand up for those who are being oppressed? Or like the crowd, the one that was recruited to be there around the time Jesus was voted into the execution. How often have I voted for things that seemed to serve me and serve us without really thinking about how unjust they were for other people? Or like Peter, sometimes I've hung in there for a while, but then when the pressure got too much, I got confused, frustrated, and failed. Or like John, got in there close, like he did at Jesus' trial, but then just never spoke up. Or like the rest of the society in Jesus' time, have just gone on about my daily life, ignoring the incredible injustices being done to other people in my society. When it says that all of us, our sins, have contributed to Jesus being executed, I don't find that a stretch. One last thought about God accepting, us accepting God's offer of forgiveness. I think it's important to not get all tied up in the, well, how does it work that Jesus' execution, resurrection, is a means of God forgiving? I find in my own life that when I accept that offer of a gift, I become a much, much better person. I don't have to understand how. I don't even understand how Donna did what she did when she forgave me. But accepting it allowed the relationship to be so much closer and so much more real. So choosing to receive that gift of forgiveness, you know, Voltaire, the atheistic approach was, well, God's job is to forgive. No, it's not God's job to forgive. It's a means to a goal that God values so highly that God's willing to forgive the hurts to God, to others, the failures, in order to pursue that relationship and let it be closer. But it's really important to remember, the offer of a gift doesn't really come to fruition and operative until we choose to receive the gift. Yeah, if somebody offers me a gift, that's wonderful on their part, but it doesn't really do what it's supposed to do in the relationship until I choose to accept it and receive it. And that takes that honesty that we've been talking about. It also suggests that one of the reasons it's so important to be able to say, yes, I need forgiveness, is it's central to learning what we need to learn in order to grow. Let me illustrate what I mean. When I look at my failures, I have a chance to then keep moving forward. If I won't face them, I'm not going to grow. And along the same lines, this is a quote from a book I've been reading by Rabbi Ward Lev, and it really touched me, and it's true. He said, if you look back on the last 5 years of your life or 10 years of your life, and you don't see a number of things that you need to be forgiven for, then your goals in life are way too low. Because anybody who has high goals knows that sometimes they fail at them, and sometimes need forgiveness for them. And I would add to that, if I look back over the last 5 or 10 years and I can't see plenty that I need to be forgiven for, I probably have taken far too few risks of faith. And if I look back over the last 5 or 10 years and don't see lots of things that I need forgiveness for, my self-assessment is probably pretty blind and too jaded. So I would suggest that we all desperately need to face our need to choose to be forgiven in order to keep growing. Last, so who do you and I need forgiveness from? Other individuals, those closest, and those I barely know. I also think we need forgiveness from other societies. We belong to a society that has hurt many people. The U.S. has harmed many people in this country and many people around the world. We need to be willing to accept any forgiveness that's ever offered from any others. And especially we need to accept God's offer of forgiveness. We've failed God so often. That's the context in which Jesus said those words that we read. He took the cup, gave thanks, and said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my lifeblood of the covenant, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." True. Far from being the only reason that Jesus was executed and God raised him from the dead, the need for forgiveness is only one of many. But it is one. And whereas evangelicals and Catholics have often made it the only one or almost the only one, those of us who think we're more progressive have tended to shy away from facing the fact that we're sinful people at all, daily falling short in incredible need of forgiveness. So my challenge today is, God offers an incredible gift. Let's accept it and be truthful enough to know we need it. One last thought along these lines of accepting. In addition to needing forgiveness from others, and from societies, and especially from God, we need forgiveness from ourselves, some of us especially. I love the example of this that in John chapter 21, the Gospel of John, Jesus walks down the beach with Peter and makes him face the fact that Jesus knows about his three denials right when Jesus needed him most, and then tells him each time, I love you, I trust you, I want you to be with me, I want our relationship to be close. And you know, Jesus was helping Peter accept God's forgiveness, helping Peter accept Jesus' forgiveness, but he was helping Peter forgive himself too, because Peter was so aware of how deeply he had failed. And I love the fact that it wasn't just important to Jesus that Peter received God's forgiveness and Jesus' forgiveness. It was important to Jesus to help Peter forgive himself for failing so badly. We all need that too. In closing, what if you and I accept over and over more fully this offer from Jesus and live it out, that we're a forgiven people? Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he said to them, drink from it, all of you. This is my lifeblood of the covenant. It's poured out for many for the forgiveness of your sins. Father, help us, help me, receive the gift ever more fully that you offer us through your faithful Son, Jesus.
Come all proud, come all greedy, come all liars, come all shame, come all wealthy, come receive it to the table, come today.
Come all broken, come all needy, come all poor, come all slaves, come all rulers, come be seated, come all sinners, come all saints, come to the table from near and far, come from the shadows, come out of the dark, there's room at the table, we saved you a seat, come to the banquet, come and join me.
Every race, every nation, come all rebels, come all gay, from the fringes, come to Jesus, to a table full of grace, to the table, come and stay, come to the table, come eat and there's no in the circle, come dine with the King, recline at the table, come let down your guard, you're never a stranger, just come as you are, come be. Come now, come. God is waiting. There's more still to feed. The harvest is ready. Go fill every seed. Go live out the mission as a kingdom of
sorrow may last for the night. His joy comes Please join me in today's benediction. Loving God, whose mercy exceeds justice, whose life breaks the bonds of death, who makes of his people a dwelling place, we pray, O Holy One, that we may walk this path with you, that we may taste and see, that we may partake of life himself, and pass with him through death. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.